We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here?
Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 99. The show that wants you to take a seat right over there. You comfy? All right, good. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft, one or two topics at a time. My name is Jin, and I'll be playing the role of Bob number one. And what's Bob number one without Bob number two? It's Allie. And yes, that is in fact an Office Space joke, and it'll make sense later.
Oh God, thank you. I was like, I feel like I should know this reference.
I'm really disappointed. Bob's for the consultants.
I'm really disappointed in myself. Like, granted, it's been a while since I've watched Office Space, but I watched it so much in college. Like, you think I've slept since then, apparently, and totally forgot that reference. I literally Googled it. Because I saw that, I'm like, what is this a reference to? I should know.
Bob Tomato? And no, it's not VeggieTales. It's Office Space.
I found some weird cartoon, kids cartoon, Bob Train Counting something or other.
Bob Train Counting?
I don't know. Some train named Bob and is counting the cars or something. I don't know. And I'm like, nope, that's probably not it.
Nope,
so
that's
you.
Not it.
Office not Space.
It. Office Space I'm it
disappointed.
Is, yes.
Disappointed myself.
Yeah, consultants. Other than you're disappointing and not understanding that Bob were the joke. What you been up to, Allie? How you been, huh?
Probably need to watch Office Space again. what have I been up to? It's my husband's currently sick, so it's been a couple days of helping him with that. And daylight savings time.
Boo. It's the worst.
I was born in Arizona where we didn't do this crap.
Sucks.
And we got along just fine. So this sucks.
It's the stupidest thing on the planet. I hate it.
It really is. And that's about it, honestly. Like, I helped a couple of friends in guild and been kind of chilling. Did some Warcraft Rumble, made some progress there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's kind of about it, honestly, last week. It's been kind of a mental chill time that I really needed. I took a bath with, like, Oreos and rum. Like, not in the bath, obviously. Like, I ate and drank them while I was in the bath.
Were you dipping the Oreos in your bath water? Because I mean,
no, that's disgusting. I mean, I'm sure there's someone somewhere on the internet that would pay for that if I gave them a bottle of that, but no. Not selling the bath water. Not cookies and cream bath water. No.
Ew. That's nasty.
Yeah, gross. But if you clean and sanitize the little, like, soap dish area, it's a really handy dang spot to put a couple Oreos, got a little glass of rum, and just bubble bath and just music. Very, very chill. Some self-care.
Very chill.
Much needed self-care. Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I've been running around like a crazy person. I'm like all stressed out. Like, there's a nasty thing on my face. Yeah, it's gross.
It's not that bad.
It's disgusting. I am a freak and it's hideous. That's what it is.
Nah, stop it. But oh, stress will do that. It's true.
Yeah. No, like, all my family's coming into town. It's just like, blah. So... yeah, this week has been prepping for my family coming. So next week, when we're talking about episode 100, I'll give you a recap of how it went. Was it good? Was it bad? Did I stress myself out for nothing? Probably not, because my family are crazy. So
I've heard the stories. I think if it was me in your shoes, I'd be probably stressing out too.
Yeah. So yeah, it's everyone. Obviously, minus my mom. Yep. That's her funeral. That's going to be on Friday. That's why they're all coming. So just crazy, stressful week. But, you know, I did get up to 123 sigils in Warcraft Rumble. So, yay.
Nice. Congrats. I think I'm at
maybe
111, 112, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm almost to 124. I've almost
beaten.
No. I beat Elder Tusk, dude. That was a
Elder Tusk dude.
Yeah, it was. He's a jerk, but I figured out the trick. Yep. In case everyone wants to know, I'll tell you the trick. It's basically don't send your troops down the lands. Just don't use unbound troops against that guy because he sucks and Because you know the green dragon, right? The green dragon that flies around and makes you go to sleep.
Yep, I remember that.
When you play it on heroic, they convert your enemies, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So just protect your base. Protect your base. Throw in a little earth elemental and like little dragon eggs, right? That's your key. So what you want to do is, I figured that the key is you have to time it right. You put the eggs down first. The boss breaks the eggs and the eggs will come up, right? But right when he swings, you need to drop the earth elemental so that he turns around and starts attacking the earth elemental so that the freaking little dragon whale blings can actually do the damage. Because if you don't put that earth elemental right at the exact right time, he's just going to crack and all three of them are dead. And you're like,
So which talent point are you using for your whale blings?
Right now,
Is it the one where those explode when they break?
Yeah, the one that I have is just if one egg breaks, they all break. So that's the only one I have right now.
Because I have one where when they break, it does some like nice exploding damage. It's actually pretty potent. I'm impressed.
I would go with that one. That one's good because
I have a second spell. He cleaves, so
you don't need the when they break, they all break. He breaks them all.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's decent damage when it explodes.
Yeah. Go with that one. That's how you do it.
Right, not quite there yet, but noted.
Yeah, you just gotta protect your base. I use the regular Drake and just make sure that it, you know, doesn't go get mind controlled. And if it does, that you got another Drake ready to kill it.
Yeah.
That's about it. So that's the job thing, patron stuff. Yep.
That's my job thing, patron stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Not awkward at all. Hey there,
listeners. Oh, I'm going to make this super awkward now because you did that. And also, you know, I read Discord. Hi. Hello. Hey. Hey there, listeners. The World's Old Saga is an ambitious undertaking. So ambitious that it will require some constructive criticism to ensure everyone gets the best final product. And if you would like to support that effort and keep listening, do that until the end of the episode and find out how.
Yeah, that was poorly worded, but whatever. Moving on.
Halfway through, my brain was like, does this make sense?
There was one word that you left out that I was like, yeah, I should have deleted that one. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well done.
You said take or require. I'm like, which one am I supposed to use? Take or require?
Yeah, let's go with require.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Here we go.
Make it awkward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I made it awkward by poor typing.
What you talking about?
All right. Here we go, everyone. We got a little role play for you. You ready? Gotta set the scene. Okay, so here we go. All right. I'm going to play the role of the dungeon master for a second so you get the idea of what's going on here. All right. You take your seat in a large conference room, and you're not sure why everyone has been invited, but you've heard the rumors. Chris Metzen steps up into the front of the conference room.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us all here. Now, there's no easy way to say this, but the World Soul Saga was a total failure.
So, obviously, me, Allie, probably anyone listening, there's probably a couple people listening, maybe in this position at one point in their life, but yeah, that's not going to be us, but we're going to pretend that was us. We're going to pretend that we're in the meeting where they're discussing how the World Soul Saga failed and why it failed. Okay? So that's what we're gonna be asking the question today. Why will the World Soul Saga fail, or how could it? Because obviously it hasn't failed yet. Hasn't even come out yet. We're still sitting here before the War Within.
Right.
Now, we're going to be conducting a little exercise in bashing WoW, like Reddit loves to do.
Gross.
But no, this is actually quite the opposite what we're gonna do. Today we're gonna be conducting our own pre-mortem. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's actually like a little project manager type thing where basically whenever we have a new project, we're going to play a little role and little goal here. We're going to try to figure out why that project will fail and what we can do to avoid it. All right. So it's like everyone, you could probably guess what all the possible pitfalls are of all the different things. So that's what we're going to be going over today because we didn't get 10.26 today. All right. That's the...
Yeah, they're all like extended maintenance. I'm like, oh, it's happening.
No, it's not. We're still in 10.25, everyone.
So sad.
All right. So like we said, so to better understand this, let's identify the stated goals of what the World Soul Saga are, right? Because you can't really conduct a pre-mortem or even a post-mortem if you don't know what the goals are, right? So we're going to figure out what exactly is the whole purpose of the World Soul Saga. So we're going to go back to little Chris Metzen's like announcement, right? We're not going to play it here. We're just going to sum up the kind of bullet points that he was going through that was really important. So first up, this is probably the most important one of them all, is they specifically said that they were going to wrap up loose threads from previous expansions left hanging, right? So we got all these questions like, what's up with the first ones? What's up with Odin? What's up with all of this stuff? By the end of this, it should all be wrapped up and tied up in a little nice little bow. And yeah, me and Allie will be like, wow, that was nice. That's nice. I like a story being done. This is good. I appreciate that.
It's rare. So it'd be real nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay. Now, obviously, another little point that he brought out is answer the question. What have the Titans actually been doing since the dawn of civilization? And what are their real intentions for the world? Obviously, that's a question that is kind of looming large over everyone right now, especially ever since Stevie D was like, yeah, Titans, it's a Titan perspective. And we all went, Titan perspective. That seems, you told us a little different there, Blizz, but now you get this whole Titan perspective thing, which is cool. Like, I actually like that. But now we're kind of like questioning everything that we know. And hopefully, and whenever this is done, this actually will be answered. All right. Now, here's the big one. Next bullet point. Wrap up the past 20 years of storytelling and set us up for the next 20 years. All right. That's a two-parter, right? Got to wrap it up. We're already going to be wrapping it up. We're going to talk about that. But we're really going to focus in on and set us up for the next 20 years. All right. So that's going to be an important one. Now, finally, our final bullet point that we're going to be discussing later is deliver the content in a way that reduces or removes droughts, right? Because Chris was really specifically talking about how we got some new cool stuff coming to make sure we get this to you on time, and we can't talk about it yet.
Right.
Right. He specifically was like, we can't tell about it yet. It's really cool. It's badass. It's the best. And we're like, okay, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to hear more about that. But it seems like they're working on some type of technology or project management timelines or Gantt charts. I don't know how they're going to thread that needle, because they didn't tell us. That they're just like, yeah, we're working on stuff.
They're just gonna get us content quicker. And we're like, what?
Mm-hmm. And then obviously just kind of like add this fun little last bit in there is, they wanted to make sure that they're getting us these answers in a timely manner so that we're not still learning about this in the assisted living facility. So,
right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. See, I'll be in the assisted living facility because I don't have any grandkids. He mentioned grandkids. I'm like, my grandkids aren't going to be clicking on things for me. It's going to be my nurse. She's going to be clicking on things for me.
No, by then, technology will evolve enough that we don't have to worry about that.
Oh, okay. Cool. It'll be like some VR That's thing.
What,
like,
yeah. Pew, pew, pew. I don't know. Because if you think about like those of us aging, how technology goes, by the time that we get into assisted living facility, nursing facility times and stuff, it'll be all advanced in VR and not cost crazy amount of money, and it will be done and built in such a way to take care of us aging gamers.
As long as we survive the climate wars, yes.
There's a lot of things we got to buy first. Let's be real honest here. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. Now, Allie, based off of Chris's kind of presentation, as you recall, and everything that you've heard up until this point, you think that was pretty much the goals of the World Soul Saga? Or was there anything else that you remember that they wanted to really capture? Make sure that I would call it a goal.
I feel like those were the main bits. I remember in my brain, I focused a lot on the whole like wrapping up stories and stuff, because I was like, about time. There's so much I want to know. But no, I think those are the main parts there, which is good.
All right. Perfect. Well, good, because I don't have to weirdly enter in a new bullet point into these notes that I forgot.
I mean, we could do it live. We've done it before.
Oh, yeah, we totally could, but I can't think of one. So we're not doing it.
We're good.
Beautiful.
No.
All right, so for the remainder of the episode, we're going to be assuming that each and every one of these goals failed. And we're going to figure out, why did it fail? And since it actually hasn't happened yet, what can they do to actually prevent that from the community going on Reddit? That's what we don't want.
Right. Like, we're not doing this to be dramatic and saying it's going to fail. No, it's just an exercise and, you know, picking out what could or could not fail and seeing what they could avoid to keep it from failing.
Exactly. That's exactly what the point is. So, let's start with bullet point number one. All right. This one's pretty much self-explanatory. This is wrap up the loose threads, right? Blizzard failed to answer some outstanding question or questions. Right? That's how this would fail. So, Allie, what storylines are considered a must answer for this one to be good, right?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I mean, some of the main points are obviously Alun. We were pretty upset. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a given. I was pretty upset when there was Jack all about first ones. So definitely first ones. There's a lot of bigger ones and a lot of smaller ones. Like, I know we want to learn more about some of the other cosmic forces and their pantheons and whatever that might be, right?
Right.
You know, not just like, obviously, Pantheon of Life. We've talked about that a little bit here and there, given the Elmo Dream and whatnot. But we still have the other pantheons and, like, what Dreadlords might be secret spies in them, you know, and all of that, right? I want to know more about the Drust. I feel like there's some stuff with the Drust that could probably be wrapped up.
Now,
that's a smaller thing.
Is that a must answer, or is that like Allie just wants that one?
For me and so many others.
Answer. Okay, must answer. Got
it. It's a must answer, but it's not as big as, say, Alun or the first ones, because who the hell are the first ones? But there's a lot of people who like the Drust storyline from like Drustvar and everything, right?
Yeah.
And then we got all the Gorok Tool stuff and whatnot. And then Shadowlands, it kind of just dropped off. Like, they made a big deal about the Drust, killed Aralon off, and then it just like stopped. Like what the crap? So like, I feel like we're owed a little bit of Drust storyline somewhere.
Okay. I'm sure they could weave it in there somewhere.
Yeah. You added Daddy Denathrius, Daddy D, to this list.
Yeah, because I think that's a
good
one.
He's, yeah, like, they didn't they tick Remoria Beast out, right? Yeah, and he's still inside that sword.
Yeah, it reminded me of Daddy D when you mentioned Dreadlords, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need more Dreadlord stuff, for sure. And I was Sire Denathrius is basically Dreadlord Primo number 10. So.
Right. I mean, considering how many years we've spent killing Dreadlords and talking about Dreadlords and learning about Dreadlords to then turn around and learn about Denathrius, like, that was kind of a big deal. And then to have him like live through all that, like, because originally I want to say it was a voice actor panel from one of the BlizzCon lines.
Yeah, I think it was one of the BlizzCon lines.
One where Denathrius' voice actor was there.
Like, that was like 2021 or 22.
Something like that. It was one of the COVID years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they shared that originally they were going to kill him off sooner, but the voice actor did such an amazing job that they were like, okay, like, we need to keep this character around. You know, like, they made some changes and he's still alive somewhere.
He's stuck in a sword.
Who knows what?
Yep.
Moaning with Remoria, apparently. And we need to know more about what is going on with Daddy D. Like, just, it's a must.
And it feels like all of this kind of stuff is kind of lumped into, I'm going to say, stuff that came out of Shadowlands, right?
Yeah.
Alun, obviously, that's a long-standing thing, not necessarily. But there was a lot of Alun stuff in Shadowlands. First ones, 100% Shadowlands. Pantheon Life, 100% Shadowlands. All of these Xerath stuff, some of the Ordos, and 100% Shadowlands. So, like, is there anything, like me personally, but I don't necessarily want to add it to the list, but we'll add it anyways, just to make sure that we call it out, is Ashara, right? That was from Battle for Azeroth, but I don't think they're going to forget about Ashara.
No, she's coming up here soon.
Yeah.
Also from BFA, had something in my brain went blank. Oh, remember? So we had with Mother, right? And we called all the different like facilities.
Yeah, I think that was going to be answered. Especially
Nimrod hung up on us. Like, something's going on. Then one of the other facilities, there was one of the other ones that didn't even answer all or something.
Yeah, it was a bunch of like, they mentioned other Titan facilities that, and like one of them we didn't know about. One of them turned out to be Tearhold, right? Because that's Odorous, or I think that's what the full name is.
That's what you asked me.
But we just call it Tearhold.
Memron hung up on us. Like, that's a whole thing, right? Like,
yeah,
so that's a little thing.
Well,
but it's still worth exploring.
It's kind of a big thing, especially considering that we're going back to Olduar in The Last Titan,
It's certainly
fair. That's fair. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it feels like a lot of those questions probably will be answered at that point. Like anything dealing with Memron, anything dealing with like the Titans, kind of like outstanding stuff. And I'm sure we'll figure out some things along the way. But I think at least from looking at this list and thinking about it and all the other things, I mean, obviously there's plenty of other loose threads out there.
Like Void Lords. Don't really know a whole lot of actual details about Void Lords.
No, not really. What exactly is a Prime Naru? Is there something on a higher order than a Naru? Right. Is there a Light Lord? I don't know. I don't think so.
I still want to know what they're called if it's not Light Lords. Light Lord. You got Void Lords. Light Lords.
It's probably some variation of Naru Supremus, or I don't know. Probably something cool like that.
Supremus.
Naru Supreme. I don't know. It's like a it's like a burrito supreme. There you go. That's a yummy.
Those are pretty yummy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously there's lots of loose threads out there. So they've got a lot to do if they're gonna wrap this up. But they got 3 expansions to do it. So
And even though they're trying to get content out to us quicker and that kind of thing, I mean, Chris did mention that doesn't mean there's gonna be less content. So
right.
Lots of room to play.
Okay. Now, obviously, if Blizzard actually manages to answer all these questions, would you consider that this would be a success? Now, here is what I'm going to ask. This is a 2-part question. Would you consider this to be a success if they just answered all of these questions that we kind of have outstanding? Like you personally?
Yes, I personally totally would. Especially if I, you know, get Infinite Pirate Dragon Mount at some point. You know, yeah. That's fine. But yes, I absolutely would.
Now, here is the biggest concern I have with this kind of question. And this is the biggest kind of concern overall is the community is going to think whatever the answers to many of these questions are is stupid.
And that's the thing, right? Like, I don't envy Blizzard doing the saga because they're... is no pleasing everyone.
Ooh.
They try so hard, but there is no pleasing everyone. And even if you please half the community, the other half that's not happy is going to be very vocal and very loud about it. And not usually that drowns out the part of the community that is happy with it.
Yeah. So
and it's just, there is no pleasing everyone.
Obviously we don't have enough information to give direct feedback to Blizzard to say, well, here's a way that you can answer some of these questions to keep the community from hating you, right? But right. I think one of the biggest questions that they really have out there is kind of what the next point is. So I think we can kind of get into the next bullet point because it ties into we need to wrap up these questions. It's what have the Titans actually been doing? And I think this is the one where the community has the... That's the one where I think that they may have a chance of being like, this is stupid. Like, I don't like this. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the answer might be, because it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with my own little answer as to what they might be doing. I'm not really sure. Right. It's probably, in my opinion, just goes back to the whole, you know, war of the different cosmic forces. And one of the 6 trying to vie for power. And I think the Titans, I'm still sold on this idea, and I'll just answer it, is that the Titans aren't originally from reality, right? They're from the Realm of Order. So they're going to have to, I genuinely think they're going to have to answer this question. Why on earth are Titans born out of a world soul? Because they never told us. In Chronicle, they're just like, yeah, that's what happens.
It's just a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they have world souls and those are baby Titans. That's what they are. And we're just supposed to accept that, especially if you consider that, oh, well, if a Titan dies, like we saw with, you know, Argus, gets shepherded off to the Realm of Order. And then if that doesn't happen, if they go to the Realm of Death, big giant wrench in the cogs is effectively what happens. Like bad things happen when very powerful entities go to a realm that they don't belong in. So... Is there anything that you can at least come up with other than like the community thinks it's stupid or they don't like it? They just, it's an unsatisfying answer to this like 20-year long question. Is there anything else that could, you know, the community is going to be an uproar about?
I don't know, because I feel like after the whole thing about, you know, Chronicles being from the perspective of the Titans. You know, some of the community were like intrigued by that, and some of the community were really frustrated by that because, you know, we spent so many years treating the Chronicles as if they were like the encyclopedias, right? Like,
yeah, this biased, so, like, voice of God kind of book.
And so for all of a sudden be like, unbiased, it's just from perspective, like, that threw a lot of people off, right? So I don't know. I mean, they could easily use the whole Titan stuff to answer another question that we didn't address earlier that I just thought of. What's the deal with Azeroth? Is she corrupted? Right. Is she alive? Like, what's going on, right? And does question, she actually...
Yeah. That one needs to be answered. Yeah,
that's a big one, right? And so, like, and does it have to do something with the Titans and this cosmic disco war? Because the Titans have their reasonings for stuff, right? Like, we know how little we actually, like, as beings on Azeroth, how little we mean to them. Because I got a freaking button that's going to reset the whole thing and kill us all if they need to. Like, on a whim. Drop of a hat. Like, oh, reset it. It's fine. So we don't matter to them, right?
Yeah, Algalon was shocked. It's like, wait, you guys care about life? What?
Yeah. It's like, there's a reason for it, and we need to know. And I feel like that's going to be a really hard thing for them to tie together nicely in a way that's satisfying to the most amount of people in the community possible.
Yeah, like, I think a great example of being satisfying to the most amount of people, the most amount of members of the community as possible, while still being, for the most part, unsatisfying, was, in my opinion, how they dealt with Sylvanas, right? It was,
yeah.
Oh, okay, we're just going to, you just wait in the Maw. You just go to the Maw, do what you need to do there, and just shut your mouth. We don't want to hear from you for a long time. Community hates you. So I guess, there you go. I mean, as we're rambling through this, that's another thing. That's another question that they're going to have to answer. What's up with Sylvanas? Did she ever find Nathanos? Is she going to suddenly come back during the last Titan or Midnight? I don't know. Because they're saying that they're wrapping it all up. It's going to be a nice little bow.
I mean, we got Illidan playing, you know, keeper for Sargeras, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with that? Is he coming back? And that could be another thing that could play into the stuff with the Titans.
Yeah.
Because they're just keeping Sargeras around for some reason.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, that seems to be at least a trend recently. That the good guys are like, well, we can't kill the bad guys. They're our buddies. Alex Straza did that with the, you know, the incarnates. And the other Titans are like, well, we can't kill Sargeras. Look around. There's only so many of us Titans. We're going to keep around. Maybe we can unfellify him. I don't know. Illidan likes to eat the fell. So maybe he can gobble it all up. I don't know. And he'll be like, rah, I'm like fell Titan Sargeras. He's better now. I fixed him.
I don't know what to say about any of this right now.
Again, the community might be like, that's stupid.
Yeah. And I do wonder if a lot of what the Titans are up to is going to play into this cosmic disco war.
I think it will.
That we've all been kind of wondering if that's happening, right? So it could all be a means to an end for them to try to win that cosmic disco war.
Yeah, and the whole, as we have been so lovingly calling it, the cosmic disco war ever since probably Taliesin or some random Reddit user kind of coined the phrase, I don't think that's actually ever coming, right?
Maybe.
I think what we're going to get in Midnight, it's going to be the light and the void really going at each other, right? That's going to be the big major conflict. Which
I'm good with that.
Kind of makes sense because
yeah,
they're kind of like the OG cosmic forces. If you can trust what Chronicle says, they're the OG.
Can we though?
I don't know. I mean, you can trust them quite a bit of it, but that early stuff's a little sus. They left a lot of details out. I'm just saying. They're like, so we woke up and then eons passed and things happened. I'm like, that's a lot of time that you just kind of like finger waved away. So we'll see what's going to happen. So the other kind of options that I kind of think is going to be is like, they might think that it's just simply overly simplistic. Again, it just goes back to it's kind of being a dumb storyline. And I don't know, like, I think the fact that Chris Metzen is in charge, it means that the community is like, if they have they've proven to be one thing, is that they They like to crap on things that they don't like, which is fine. If you don't like it, go ahead, crap on it. But one thing that they're that a lot of people are for sure about is that, well, you know what I do like is I like the good old days of stuff. And then that was when Chris Metzen was in charge. And so when he's back, they're like, yes, he's got to fix it. He's putting the war back in Warcraft. No more frigging Hello Kitty Island Adventure on the Dragon Isles. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. But and here's actually one more problem that I'm just minor concern is that a lot of the unanswered questions is from everyone's favorite expansion, Shadowlands.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to get into that cosmic stuff again. And I think the community might be like, this again.
Right. And which is scary because on one hand, like, I personally am okay with it because, like, it's a way to expand the universe.
Yeah.
You know, an MMO lasting this long that's still putting out new content and planning for another 20 years down the road, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, they have to find ways to expand the story, right? And I think exploring the cosmos, like, is a good way. But I think the way it was introduced in the beginning, it was a bit of a rough first impression for all that. So you're right. I do think there's going to be people who are going to be jaded and biased now in a negative way. So that when they do start touching the cosmic stuff again, they're going to be like, oh no.
Yeah.
And like already assume that it's going to be bad. And if they think it's bad, then obviously it must be bad.
All right. So like thinking about like wrapping up these stories and then also thinking about specifically this kind of question and keeping community perception in mind, especially with the Shadowland ever looming problem. How do you think that Blizzard could avoid these like issues that we're kind of calling out here? Like, is there any steps, anything that you would do to avoid any of these kind of like perception problems? Or like, for example, I know Holly Longdale even admitted that Shadowlands felt like the story was a little disconnected. Right. So like, do you have any initial thoughts, feelings about what you would do to try and like put those worries at ease?
I would have, I mean, Holly's been pretty great and pretty upfront about some things, which I really like her for. You know, Chris is back and we got a lot of people who are like, ooh, we're excited that Chris is back and he's going to save the day and all that, right? So I put Chris and Holly on the stage or put them, you know, on a comfy chairs next to a fireplace with some cocoa. That works too. And have them sit down and talk about it and make those connections instead of being a disconnect, right? Like, explain what some of their goals are with going into the cosmic stuff again. Explain their desire to expand the universe and how they have to introduce some things. And, you know, and they can admit that, you know, maybe it wasn't done in the best way before, but they want to, you know, smooth that out. Here's our reasons why, blah, 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 blah. Here's our goals. Here's the things we're really hyped about. Chris can really hype it up. And I think that'll be a nice way to kind of, you know, it still might be a little bumpy, but it's going to smooth out some of those bumps, I think.
All right. So time to really start digging into this. So I got to play some devil's advocate here. So you're saying that you want them to either what? Do a panel at a BlizzCon or a YouTube series? Or what exactly are you envisioning?
Either one.
Either one. Okay.
However it works, right? Like there's some rumors going around that Microsoft may not do a BlizzCon this year as they're, you know, sure, getting everything settled down after the merger. I hope it's not the case, but we're all kind of starting to wonder that. So, I mean, they might do a BlizzCon online. I can't do BlizzCon online. That sounds weird. BlizzCon online thing again, or maybe do some YouTube series or something, or wait until, you know, hopefully the next BlizzCon down the road. Like either one. I feel like you two would probably reach more people.
Okay. Do you,
maybe
now my initial concern, especially if you go with the YouTube series, because I think BlizzCon, but obviously you have the concerns about the BlizzCon not being a thing. So I get that. But don't you think that if it were a YouTube series, that would just be exacerbating the issue of the story? You to really get that information, you got to seek outside media versus true, it being in the game? Or are you looking more of like, for example, when Walking Dead was super, super hype, they always had the Talking Dead afterwards. Are you saying that you want right, more of like, not necessarily like an explanation where they're talking about the story and like, here's the story, folks. You want more of like an explanation of their stated goals and just almost like a kind of like a little chit chat fireside thing where it's just explaining their processes and why they went the route they did?
I want all of it. but if we're going to, you know, kind of mesh this out a bit, right? I do think that the things like roadmaps and extra communication and openness that they're having with the community has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having some kind of fireside chat, that kind of thing, to kind of talk about these ideas and like what they're thinking of, what directions they're thinking about going in, why, blah, blah. Like, I think that's a good idea. I do understand the concern about people's frustration with the story happening outside the game. But, you know, sometimes fireside chats, like, it's literally just developers talking. You could put it right there on the Battle.net launcher. So it's like right there as you see it and you click on the video and maybe watch it there even. But I feel there are ways to explore in game in such a way to make it really fun. Like, it could be a stay a while and listen with Khagar talking to a bunch of kids about, well, back in the day, here we started learning about these other cosmic forces. And, you know, like, find some kind of way to, you know, work that out in game as a refresher to kind of set it up a bit and help kind of make some more connections and kind of pave the way a little bit.
Okay, so that I feel like that, you know, weaving it in, maybe adding it to the launcher with the video series, maybe a little bit how like Josh and Ian used to do those Q&As. Obviously,
yeah,
don't necessarily do the same thing, but have Holly and maybe Chris or Anne from the narrative team, or even I think it's Sean Copeland, I believe
Sean Copeland.
Yeah, you could bring some of the narrative team on there to just discuss their. I would say it's kind of like the developer notes that you get on like your class spec kind of thing.
Yeah,
but you could do it to the goals and the narratives and things like that. So I think that could be fun. But I think like if anything, that is just trying to play kind of defense, right? About like here's our thought process. Here's what we're doing. So how could you prevent that? Like, how would you actually prevent the community from just hating the story, even though they had those like developer insights? Like, is there something that you could do with the story that would avoid the Shadowlands problem? I'll just put it like that.
Well, don't let there be COVID.
Okay, well, that's a separate issue. Okay, before we get into this, let me define what I see the Shadowlands problem is.
Okay.
The Shadowlands problem is it felt like all of the different zones and the entire setting was so divorced from Azeroth that people felt like this is no longer World of Warcraft that I'm playing. This is like, I don't know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they went and go and played with death, you know, like just that weird, just the different things of Afterlife. I think that was the Bogus Journey in the second one when they did that, so yeah.
Right.
So that's the Shadowlands problem, in my opinion, is people felt disconnected from the story because it was so wildly different.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. And I think if they take more time to actually build those bridges, right, and to bring the story together, not just like, oh, hey, she ripped open a helm and it ripped open the sky and all these things, like, instead of being this like cold shock, you know, as if you're doing like some ice plunge or whatever, like,
right.
Warm up first, you know, and like use some story plots to build it up. And because a part of the problems with Shadowlands was everything you shared, but it's also things like we didn't get time to care about the Jailer.
No.
Jailer turned out being pretty lame in the end anyways. You know, like give us time to build up the story to make us care and that kind of thing and to see why this is necessary to expand in that kind of thing. And not just for the developer reasons, but for in-story reasons too.
Okay. So I will answer my own question here, and I'm going to answer it in a way to basically just say, keep doing what you're doing, Blizz, because I like the direction that they've already been talking about. And that is keep the story centered on Azeroth, and Azeroth should be the focus. We don't need to go to a different place unless it's like a 0.2 patch where we just go to a different zone for a little while. Like the fact that, oh, we're in the Emerald Dream, but it's still Dragonflight, right? It doesn't feel wildly different. You still feel connected to the Dragon Isles and everything that's going on there. And I feel like they're doing that because they already kind of talked about, like, we already know where we're going in the War Within. All of those zones and everything look very cool. very Azeroth-centric, right, with the world soul literally talking to us. Like, well, at least these big fancy characters. Right. Midnight, we already know that they're probably going to be using that expansion to be refreshing Silvermoon and Quel'Thalas in that area, and probably the Exodar while they're at it. You know, maybe finally bring those like BC zones up to the rest of the Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor and all that stuff. So looking forward to that. And then obviously we know in The Last Titan, going back to Northrend. Like, these are really awesome, iconic places. So
yeah,
I think by them doing what they're doing and they have already laid out, they're going to, at the very least, they're going to avoid what I consider to be the Shadowlands problem. Like, these are locations that we've seen before. We know them, and as soon as they said, we're going back to Northrend, that room freaking lost their shit. Like, everyone was so excited when they're like, we're going back to Northrend. We're like, this place. Oh my God. And you were one of them. I was standing right next to you.
I absolutely was. Yeah.
Allie would like nearly lost your voice when they were like, we're going back to Northrend. Ah! that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a little bit of exaggeration, but not much.
Not much. I was pretty excited.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, would you agree with that? Like, keeping the story on Azeroth. That's gonna keep the players that don't give two shits about the story playing too. Because that was another problem. It's a lot of the players in Shadowlands were like, what even is this? And they just left and they never came back.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
All right. So if they keep it on Azeroth, much better. Like, I like that. You can still tell all the stories. And I think it's really awesome that we get to revisit these places. And honestly, maybe that's what they're doing with this, you know, enhanced technology they're talking about. It might be some type of like, we can use the old world without being so disruptive as Cataclysm was, because we've learned lessons.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as they, like, I feel like some of the stories we talked about them needing to wrap up some in order to make this feel like a successful saga, trilogy, if you will. Like, some of it is exploring those things from Shadowlands. So if they can find a way to explore some of those concepts and some of those stories while we're still in Azeroth, or not, you know, spending a whole time, you know, or whole patch or whatever somewhere off in space, then that's good. I mean, it may be something where they're setting up for those next 20 years after the saga, but it's hard. It might be. I'm going to be curious to see how much they can wrap up in these 20 years from this list that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. If we go from the list that we kind of had in there, I think that they're going to probably nail it, but there could definitely be some outstanding stuff. Like, for example, the Drust. I'm not saying don't hold your breath, but don't hold your breath.
No, I'm not holding my breath, but like the other, you know, Xerus and the, you know,
yeah, I think that the one,
Pantheons, like
that one feels like the Xerus and the Pantheons, and to a lesser extent alone. I'm convinced at this point that we may actually never get a real straight answer as to what Alun really is. They may just be like, no, nope, mystery. It's always going to be a mystery. Sorry. Can't tell.
That'd
everyone
be so sad. I hope not.
Yeah, I'd live with it. I'd live with it.
Would you though?
No, I would accept. I would accept it, but I would not. Fair. I would not be particularly jazzed. But whatever.
Right.
Okay, so those are obviously some pretty big kind of pitfalls that they need to avoid. And I don't know. I just think calling them out at the very least is good. Hopefully they did this same exercise. So if you didn't, Blizzard, and you're listening, maybe you should do this. Because you've got more information than I do. A lot more. Okay. Bullet point number three. As we were just kind of talking about this, they need to wrap up the past 20 years and set up the next 20 years of storytelling. So, like we said, this is kind of like a two-part goal. We got to figure out what we're going to do. And we kind of already set up the wrap up the first 20 years. So we're not going to focus too much on that. So we can assume that failing to wrap up the first 20 years would be a failure if, like I said, the community felt like the story has been ruined. Like we already kind of went over. Just like a lot of the reactions where everyone thought that the jailer ruined Arthas's lore, right? Like they don't want. I know for a fact the community is still upset because one of my co-hosts is very upset at the second half of the frick cutscene where they're like, be gone, Arthas Menethil.
And what's so funny about that, too, is like, usually, like, I'm I'm pretty easy to please. I like most things. I have a hard time being critical sometimes, that kind of thing, even when it's, you know, constructive criticism. But that moment pissed me the hell off.
See?
But for others in the community, they really liked it, and they felt like that was the only fitting end for Arthas. You know? So it's interesting to see how some people reacted to that particular cutscene, if you will. Not talking about, you know, the whole thing of how he got his armor and all that jazz.
Yeah. So anyway, like the whole kind of retconning of the jailer and Arthas and how they felt that the story of the jailer playing, I don't know, n-dimensional chess, right? Just craziness of all the plans right. And the machinations. Yeah, it just seemed like, okay, whatever. Obviously, another one that I think the community is just going to be like, this is stupid. If the first ones just turn out to be some weird Titan Plus kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that might happen. I'm just saying.
It really bothers me that we don't know anything about the first ones, but they made such a big deal about it. And then they made it seem like in Xerath Mortis that we're going to learn all these things, and we learned Jack. So, you know, if it does end up being some kind of weird Titan Plus, like if they come out and say the first ones made all the things ever, I would accept that more than their Titan Plus.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the first ones, we can get into it. I think that they're going to need to really kind of thread that needle and explain that the first ones are just their version of this is who set up the forces, those Titan, or not the cosmic forces.
And that's what I'm kind of thinking they are.
Right. Like they're the ones that set up the building blocks of the universe. But who are they? Why did they do it? Why would anyone want to do it? Like, what? I don't know. And then if you really want to answer what's up with the first ones, you're going to have to answer the question, okay, numbnuts, why'd they put a bunch of freaking portals in the Shadowlands just in case some mortals needed to zoop out of the maw? I don't think they're ever going to be able to answer that one. I just don't.
I think that's one of those things where it was game mechanics for quality of life, then can't really put a story reason for why.
Yeah, because normally in all of those little instances like that where that's ever happened in the past, it was always, oh, a Titan relic. We interacted with some type of Titan machinery, and oh, because of our, you know, Titan ancestry from, well, basically all of us, except maybe like one or two races out there, like Draenei, for example. Right. They're going to be like, oh, and oh, you have the heart of Azeroth and blah, 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 and it recognized you. But that's how they usually explained it, but it didn't make sense when you went to the Shadowlands. They're like, well, the Titans really wouldn't have put that there, so who else is going to put some? The first ones did it. And everyone's going, who's the first ones? What? So, I don't know. That one's going to be tricky. I still think the first ones are going to be a sore subject among a lot of people.
Probably, honestly, that is one thing that I think the community is probably, no matter what they do, whether they answer or don't answer, or however they answer it, like,
they're going to be grouchy.
It's going to be grouchy. I think it's going to be probably a pretty split situation.
Yeah. And now we also have to talk about what the community is going to be bantering about and talking about all the time.
It was retconned. Retcon, retcon, retcon.
Right. They're going to say
so it. Tired of that word.
Sometimes you just want to tell them, it's like just adding further context that doesn't change the story one bit whatsoever. Yeah, that's technically a retcon, but that's not bad. It's retroactive continuity. Oh, no.
Like, and when it's something that changes the story and it legit doesn't make sense, like, I guess in the frustration I do. But right. You're right. Like, there are sometimes when they're just adding to the story, not actually changing it, just to flush out the characters, and people cry retcon, that's when it frustrates me.
Right. Yeah. That's, I am in the exact same boat as you, is that sometimes the community are like, oh, it needs to do bleh, or whatever, or it's a retcon, and retcons are bad because I said they were bad because of the word retcon. Okay. Shut up. All right. All right, with all of those kind of reactions in place, here is, in my opinion, actually the more important of the question. What could be a failure in setting up the next 20 years?
Dude, I don't even know. Like, the thought of this MMO continuing for another 20 years after this saga, like, what? What would they even do?
Well, it's going to be interesting because they can either do one of two things. We'll just kind of like figure out what we can do here. So in my opinion, a failure is going to be that the community is confused of what's coming next. They're like, what? You know, like we finish up the World Soul Saga. We have, you know, the last Titan is over. We have completed patch 12.3, whatever. And they're like, okay, cool. We punched freaking Amonthul in the face. We fixed all timelines. Bronze Dragonflight. Don't even have to, they can just chill now. Like everything's fine. What? Like what? And then what? Like if the community is just like, I don't know. For a good example is like, oh, at the end of 10 point or what? Yeah, we're in 10. So Dragonflights are like, oh, at the end of 10 point, whatever. You're going to know who the bad guy is after you finish the Vault of Incarnates. And we're like, okay, well, I mean, we kind of did. But it wasn't super obvious, especially because Viranoth was amongst them and she's a good guy now.
Right.
So.
Yeah. She's an aspic now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like super obvious. Super, super obvious.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the community like eventually like guessed that Viranoth was going to be a good character. And yeah, she is. So cool. So I think that's a big one. They're like, I don't get it. I don't know what's coming up next. Now here is actually, I think, the biggest pitfall that they need to avoid. New cast of characters that the community hates.
But yeah.
If you're trying to set up a story of 20 years and Thrall's son is that everyone just hates him, right? They're like, he's nothing but a Nepo baby or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And like, I see like, you can kind of see hints of where they're starting to build up some things. Like, they took some time in Legion to introduce us to Erator, right? We have Princess Talanji. Like, we have some characters that are up-and-comers that it seems like they are building up to potentially use down the road. And others who are stepping out of, you know, their main roles to do other things, like Thrall, like Gen.
Like,
you know?
Tess,
so it's,
right? Tess Greyman.
Exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. So it's just, it's interesting to see how that all might play out, but you're right. Like, they're going to have to introduce new characters in order to go for another 20 years. So better make sure we like them.
Yeah, like, and then I guess that's kind of the other thing that could be a bit of a problem. And I don't see them doing this, but if the narrative team decides to go with the, oh, we're just going to kill off a bunch of these characters because, well, it's the last Titan and they're sacrificing themselves with, like, I don't see them ever actually, like, killing off Thrall, because just speaking as, like, just a business and monetary, I think Thrall is too valuable of an asset to them that they'll never actually kill him off. He'll just be retired, you know, just kind of like what they did with Sylvanas.
Yeah, but I also never thought they'd kill off Varian.
I mean, I could see that, but at the same time, Varian didn't have that long-standing, like, community love from Warcraft 3. That Sylvanas
had. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Because Thrall was, he's straight out of Warcraft 3, you know?
And yeah,
he was supposed to have Lord of the Clans adventures, right? He was going to have his whole friggin' side-scrolling adventure game.
Right.
So I don't think they're ever going to kill him off. But there's plenty of other characters, like Jaina. I don't think they'd kill her off, but you never know.
I mean, they may have to kill off some bigger names just for the sake of drama.
Yeah.
But I hope it's not drama for drama's sake. Like, it needs to be done right, you know?
Yeah, like, there is one character that I would be very sad to see them go. But if we are genuinely talking about setting up the story for another 20 years, there's one character that I'm like, yeah, that's okay. They can go out in a very powerful fashion, and it would make sense. And that's Khadgar. The dude is getting old. And
yeah,
if we're setting this up for another 20 years, I mean, yeah, he was young, but then Medivh made him much older. So,
yeah,
time's probably catching up with him. Right? Unless he learned some tricks from, like, a book from Egwin and he just knows how to keep
him. I mean,
really,
he might have.
I mean, maybe. He's been studying in Karazhan for a while, so.
He'll be our next Deckard Cain.
It could be. But
find
they killed him off, too.
Cave so. Somewhere. Yeah, that's true.
It's a different property, but they killed him off.
But yeah, I feel like we're going to have some pretty big deaths at some point during this saga.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could kill off Alexstrasza, because as sad as it would see her to go, wouldn't be like, oh, an IP ruining like death. where kind of thing, like Sylvanas might have been. Like that could have been.
Yeah, it would have been.
Oh, I hope it's. Alex Ross has been through so much. If she doesn't go down saving people or in the blaze of glory, it better be a nice, peaceful, happy death, because like a happy passing.
Yeah.
She deserves some peace, man.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Granted, she's done some things that weren't that great, but you know, we talked about that in previous episodes.
Yeah. Now let's see. Now here is actually another big one that is going to be a problem for the community too. And I just foresee this one being so many Reddit posts. I just see so many Reddit posts. The first story was better than this one.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I feel like no matter what they do, that there's going to be a group who feel that way.
Yeah, they're just going to be like, I don't like this next 20 years. Let's go back. I'm going back to classic. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, and that's why classic's there, right? Like, it's really genius that Blizzard did the whole classic thing and that they're working to keep that community engaged. Very smart. Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this one's going to be really rough. Like, I don't know if I can give them like any specific advice on how to avoid these problems. I mean, I am not the greatest when it comes to coming up with my own storylines and things like that. Like, I'm mediocre at best. So, communities, keep views of what's coming next. Like, that one would probably be avoided by like just telling us, just, hey, this is what's coming up next, right? Just
take time to introduce it, lay the groundwork.
Yeah. Really lay it out as if, like, this is what's going to be coming up down the pipe.
Right.
Now, the new cast of characters that the community hates, I think they can avoid this one, at least me personally. Let me know if you agree, is that they can't get rid of the entire cast. Like, they can't.
Agreed.
They just can't do a hard reset on, like, people that we're going to be hanging out with and characters that we see. Like, because if they do a 20 years have passed since the last Titan, blah, 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 blah. Now we don't see anyone that we've ever seen before. And Anduin's like old man in a spaceship kind of thing. Like, I don't know that would go over very well.
It wouldn't. Like, we need those familiar faces, those comfort zones, you know, like when there's a lot of change can be scary. And we need the people that we know with us.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they don't have to be front and center, but I think they should still be there.
Yeah.
Like, you could still go see and visit Jaina, for example. And yeah, maybe she's a bit older now, but she's still out there kicking ass and she's great. Maybe she's.
Of course.
She's Lord Admiral. And she's like, look, I'm Lord Admiral now. Like, I've saved the world. One, two, three. A lot. A lot of times. Right. I got to take care of my people. Like, you guys got this. Like. Because there's a whole bunch of, like, little characters that they could bring up that a lot of people have seen and that have enjoyed. Like, here's one that we haven't thought of for at least a minute. Talia Fordragon. She was great.
Yeah?
I liked her.
She was great.
Yeah, so bring her up.
We got her. We got Zakan. The community fell in love with Zakan.
There's another character that the community loved. Name was Flynn.
Yeah, bring him back. I need this. I'm really hoping in 10.26 somehow brings Flynn back to me because
I need
more hot Flynn action in my life.
Oh, no. It's pee in my barrel. Oh,
yes.
No. No. It's beer. We're all good.
Love Flynn.
Yeah, so obviously you gotta keep some of the familiar faces. And I think what they have been doing by sprinkling in new characters, like just one, onesie-twosie, each expansion, and just using those to keep the characters and the story moving forward, I think is the right way. So that there is that connection back to the old characters over time. But yeah, they absolutely need to make sure that they're continuing that slow drip feed of these characters that were like, oh yeah, they're cool. We like Zappy Boy. He's great. Right. And that they're replacing any characters that does die off, like Varian, for example, or, you know, Varrock, you know, with characters that were like that we all resonate with and we think are really awesome. So, yeah, that's
I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know why the jailer just completely and utterly sucked and you guys dropped the ball on that one. But Eridacron is the coolest badass on the planet. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It just worked out that way. It's just whatever. All right, and then obviously, I don't think you can actually fix the third thing where people are just going to assume the first story was better. Like, because, that's just going to happen.
Yep. Yeah. That's just kind of how it goes in Kingdom. Like, when you You got your people who are loyal to the original trilogy and the original storyline and characters and stuff. And, you know, change can be rough and it takes exploring new things to keep an MMO like this going. And for some people, that's just never going to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go ahead and dive into the final bullet point that we're going to be covering today. And that is get content faster. Give it to us faster. Now, obviously, we're thinking like this. Is that storytelling? No, it just totally is very key and related to the storytelling. This isn't just getting your next raid or your next mega dungeon or some crap like that. You need story slowly throughout the process to make sure that there's always still something bringing you back, because everyone remembers. Well, that is still playing the game. Everyone remembers what it felt like between 9-0 and 9-1.
Oh, it hurt.
That was...
It hurt so much. That was the worst.
Yeah, we had the initial Shadow Way of story, and we were all hyped. We thought it was like, oh, man, the leveling stuff was great. And, you know, we were all over here just fawning about it forever. Thank God we weren't weekly back then, is all I'm saying. Oh, my God. I don't even know what I would have talked about. That was rough. That was a rough...
That was one of the things that broke up my original guild. Like, it was just, well, it was one of many, but yeah, that was a really rough time.
Yeah. So if they are actually able to deliver this stuff faster, I mean, it means that they can give us quests and things along that fast, and they can, you know, pepper in more little cinematics. And here's actually one of the things that I wanted to bring up in this context that I think... There are those in the communities, one of which is, for example, Berserker over there at Unshackled Fury, that while we have grown to love Wowhead, we have also grown to hate Wowhead and all of the data mining and that they do. Data mining's fine. Like, I don't have any problem with data mining, but I'm very happy that Blizzard has been getting a lot better at encrypting things, right? For example, 10.26. What the frick is it?
I don't know, and I want to know now. Why didn't we get it today?
I don't know. So these are the questions that we have. It's like,
yeah,
is this a good experiment? Right? They are keeping things away, like hidden, much better than they ever could in the past, because the data mining would just, and 2 seconds later, everything would be up on Twitter, and then Allie and I would have to, like, practically uninstall the freaking app from our phones to make sure that we didn't get spoiled. And it's just a minefield of people saying, oh, this is going to happen. I'm like, we haven't even logged in yet, and we already know the end raid cinematic, and it's like, good God. So I think that if they're able to deliver this content faster, I think what it also means is if they're able to deliver a content faster pace, and they're continuing to build on this technology, that whatever that may be, and we can speculate a little on what you think it might be. I think a big part of that is also going to be whatever this experiment is that they're toying around with 10.26, right? Some of these other experiments that they've been doing, they've even called Season of Discovery a little bit of a kind of an experiment, right? Because they want to deliver stuff like content to the player base without ruining, you know, that joy of discovery, that excitement of seeing something for the first time, especially in the correct context, right? Because if all you're doing is logging into, you know, Twitter or YouTube or whatever, and there it is, and you're like, oh, cool, let me see what happens, and you click it, and then you're like, oh, cool, Malfurion takes the place of Ysera, and Ysera's back, and you're like you don't even played the game yet, right? It's just you already know what's happening, and it's like that's not the intended context that they want that story to be told in. They don't want just the cutscene, because they've been adding in so much voice acting and things surrounding that cutscene before you get it that it sets it up to the point that you're like, oh, okay, this is the whole story and everything. And I think that's why a lot of the raid ending cinematics, at least recently, have been a little, quote unquote, lackluster, because I think they've been trying to add more story throughout, so that if you did actually watch the video, like if you were like, oh, I'm going to watch the ending raid cinematic, maybe you won't get that much out of it. Maybe you won't be like, oh, okay,
that's true.
because you need to play through the whole thing to actually go, oh, this is what the whole story was like. You know, like 10-1 in Sarkarath was a perfect example.
Because
it was like, oh, okay, Sarkarath's dead now. But then as soon as you did the epilogue quest, you're like, whoa, there's way more to this than just, he's dead now.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, obviously, with the exception of whatever the final cinematic to The Last Titan is going to be, because that's probably going to be pretty mind-blowingly spoilerific.
Oh, man.
So.
That's going to be a lot.
So anyway, do you actually agree with all these points? Do you actually think it would behoove them to continue keeping this stuff under wraps? You know, hide the story quests, hide the all of that kind of stuff from the PTR.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've made plenty of points here and there to basically say, like, they want to keep it encrypted as long as possible. And they want to keep, you know, the story under wraps so people can discover it naturally the way they mean for it to be discovered, you know, not in a thumbnail that is a spoiler, yeah. You know. So and trying to give people that experience, you know, of seeing it fresh after you play through it and not on a YouTube video.
Right.
That was posted somewhere. That's really hard to avoid because, I mean, there are patches where it is really hard to avoid story, you know, and like you and I are working, the cinematic comes out. So you and I are texting each other like, cinematic's out. We should probably watch it just so we can, you know, because we have to, you know, content creator, you kind of have to keep up with things. And so it's just, it's nice to be able to experience it the way they want us to. And I think they really are working hard to try to make that doable.
Yeah.
And I think it's good.
Now, this whole concept of delivering content faster and it being supposedly something that they can't talk about yet, but they got some really cool stuff a brewing, as Chris put it. Do you have any idea of what that might actually be with what they have that they're thinking of?
I wish. I really don't know. I know that Dragonflight has been a little faster. There's been lulls, though, because some of the content is more, you know, grinding for this cosmetic, that pet, that kind of thing. And, you know, they've been playing around that this expansion. But in my opinion, having the roadmap to kind of mark it all out and lay it all out kind of has, at least for me, I'm not going to speak for the whole community, just for me, it's helped me kind of know where the lulls are going to be and understand the lulls and kind of gives us that promise of like, but don't worry, like, here's all this great stuff coming up, you know. And I think that's been really great. So I think continuing to utilize that and then whatever content they're thinking about, I mean, I don't know, what do you think they're going to do with it?
I obviously, like, I can't make too many guesses other than, like, they're streamlining processes. They're taking advantage of newer technologies where they can.
I guess.
Right. My possible guesses to any of this is that they are going to be trying to utilize old world as much as possible to cut
for
down
sure.
on development time and art assets yeah. and things like that, where maybe they just need to uplift it a bit as a way to start with a base, right? You don't need to completely create the whole thing from scratch. Maybe you just need to do an uplift. And maybe, I don't know if that's harder or easier. I'm just going to say, like, this is my guess, is that, well, if the entire zone is already built out and you just need to, like, fix it up a bit, like, that seems easier than creating something on a complete blank canvas.
Yeah, I think as long as the spaghetti code is doable, manageable.
Yeah. So that's at least my guess, is that they're going to try and utilize more existing zones, existing assets, because that's kind of one of the things that I think a lot of the community has been kind of interested about. It's like, why aren't we going back to these zones? Why aren't we going back to the old world where it matters? Like, this is where we live. Like, we don't just, we're in the Dragon Isles now, and then we never go back to Azeroth. It's
well, and that's the thing too, right? Because if they are going to continue this whole saga, and if they're going to be keeping us mostly on Azeroth, there's only so much space in Azeroth. And right. So, I mean, you know, they're exploring the whole, you know, going underground thing. There's more space down there, more things we can do, all the Nerubians and whatnot, right? These new dwarves, like, so they're exploring that, but like, ultimately, there's still only so much surface area on Azeroth. So they're going to have to continue to go back to old zones and do those things. But honestly, I have found what they've done with it so far pretty refreshing. to go back to the old zones. And it's like woven in nicely in a way that has felt fairly natural. So it's been nice.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where we're at with the trying to get content out faster. I can't come up with any other crazy thing other than possibly utilizing, you know, some type of AI or something like that to try and uplift some of these zones for what we're, especially if it's just like kind of like a mundane activity where it's just like going in and right. Like you want your artist working on creating, you know, the new assets and things like that and let the tools just go ahead and plug it in where it's like, okay, this tree, replace it with this new pretty tree, right? That kind of thing. And then go in and you know, double check it and, you know, do a QA review on it and make sure that it all looks good. But just to kind of like speed up the process is my only guess that where they might be doing something like that to try and speed things up. Because I don't ever see them doing any kind of like, you know, other than maybe in delves going forward in the future of where it's, you know, actually, you know, generated like areas or things like that, you know, kind of like how they said like Diablo was. It's like, oh, it's right. Whenever you go into the caves, it's like, oh, every cave or whatever, it's totally different. I don't remember exactly the name of it, but it's like, you know, like dynamically generated content as you spawn into the different zones. I don't think they're ever going to do that in WoW. That doesn't make sense. It's that, and at least in my opinion, other than like when you go into like for like a delve, for example, maybe they could use something like that there. It would make sense because it would not make sense at a dungeon, because especially with Mythic Plus in mind, and routes are very big important. So they would never do that there.
Yeah, definitely Mythic Plus. My only thought is like if we get to a point where we start exploring some timey-wimey stuff again, I feel like they could utilize it with the Bronze Dragonflight stuff.
Yeah, that would be
maybe.
It'd be really crazy if they're just like, we're just gonna like let it generate, like just do all sorts of crazy crap because, hey, infinite possibilities. It's timelines. So yeah, you could definitely do something like that. That would make sense, right? Especially if they continue to reutilize some of these assets that they have, and if they're setting us up for another 20 years, it's like what you could, you know, we go back to, you know, Thaldrassus. We go to the, you know, the Sands of Time area, you know, the Bronze Temple, and you go through that, through the time ways, and that's just like, it's like, here you go. We brought this new content in patch 19.3, and what you're going to do is you're just going to, you go into this zone, and you just keep, it's like Torghast, but it's like generated content. It's like super cool. It's great. So there you go.
And Chromie's aspect.
Exactly.
At that point.
Chromie's aspect, obviously. For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely Chromie. Kranormu is the best.
Yes.
All right. So do you have any final thoughts? Anything else to add to this? Like anything else that you really like something that you're just concerned that they might screw up and people are going to be pissed if they don't?
I don't know. Like the only other thing I can think of is that I want them to tell us if there's a fifth old god. But in terms of like this and like what else I could really screw up, there's so many things I could screw up because of how picky the community is, right? Like they're treading on some dangerous ground, but I am hopeful for the future and excited to see what they're going to do with the saga.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they are setting themselves up for success, least kind of going through this. And what they've been doing in the past, I don't see this being an epic failure as like Shadowlands was. At least kind of thinking through all this process, they probably will answer the vast majority of the questions. There probably still will be some outstanding questions that they can use to have like breadcrumbs leading us into the next 20 years. There's another way that they could do it where it feels connected and not just like completely divorced from the original 20 years. Because that would be another way of making people feel like, well, this is weird. I don't like this.
Yeah.
But I just, I guess my biggest concern right now is how are they actually going to wrap up these 20 years without having the community feel like, nothing but a bunch of retcons. It's not, this is all lame. Like, let's just go back to Wrath. It's the best. Everyone loves Wrath of the Lich King, and there's nothing better than that. So if they can manage to capture some of that Wrath magic and sprinkle it into, you know, the final of the
ending. Sprinkle it in.
Yeah, just a little sprinkle it in. Just like the little...
I do like sprinkles.
Yeah. Add a little bit of that saltiness. Right, like, we... And I think my biggest concern is that they're gonna have to crack open the Shadowlands stuff a little bit, right?
Yep, they will.
Because they're gonna have to answer the question that the jailer said, like, what is that threat to come? Like, what is
that's
that?
That's true. Right? That's a big one.
It's really stupid. No one liked that cutscene. Everyone thought it was dumb as hell. They're still going to be like, yeah, well, the jailer thought that this or whatever. So Val, he was really scared of this thing. So he was going to remake reality. And we're like, okay, neat. So yeah, they're going to have to address that. And that's like you said, that's some dangerous ground. That's a dangerous game, friendo.
Yep, that is.
Yeah. All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I'm just bring on the saga. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm very curious to see how it's going to go. But with all this in mind and these possible questions that could be answered, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited. But there's some cringe lurking under the covers that you're just like, oh no, how are they going to deal with that? What's going to happen
with... Hopefully they'll deal with it. It'll be okay.
What's going to happen when Sylvanas and Nathanos pop back out and everyone's like, oh, shit. Them again.
Right. They're going to have to be careful on how they handle certain things, let's just say.
And then if they're like, you know, Tyrande's over here talking about how tired she is. Like, can you imagine what would happen if the community were... If they were just like, oh, well, Tyrande died. She sacrificed herself. She's dead. So, yep. I'm pretty sure there would be riots in at least the Night Elf community. They'd be very pissed.
Yeah, that's true.
Heck, I'd be pissed. She's like one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
God. Oh my gosh, it's so many scary things that could happen. Oh, it's so scary. It's fun though. I'm looking forward to it.
It is fun for sure.
All right. Well, there's some fun stuff here at the end that we need to talk about. And that's next episode. Because it's episode 100.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the this episode, well, for non-patrons, this comes out what, Friday morning?
Yep.
So you have until the night of the 18th to either reach out in Twitter, in Blue Sky, in the Discord. We have a special channel for it, and tell us what you have enjoyed about our 100 episodes, favorite moments, what you've learned, things along those lines. And every person that does this, that participates in this, gets entered into a random drawing to win an epic edition of The War Within, the whole freaking expansion and all the goodies that come with it.
Yeah, for the first chapter in the World Soul Saga. Yeah, because that's what we just talked about today. It's connected. Get it? Yep.
It's true. But we'll share what everyone says in our next episode. Make you all kind of be a part of it, because you're probably the reasons that we're here doing this thing. Otherwise, it'd just be me, like Jen and I, in Discord messaging each other about geeky lore things instead of just sharing it with you guys. So, do that. Get yourself an expansion.
Yep. Absolutely. Looking forward to it. It's gonna be good. But since we've got through that, we got to the episode, and it is the time of the place and the things. Basically, yeah, you could be awkward again. There you go.
Me, I am never awkward. I am very professional, very confident, and very good at the put. No, I'm not. Okay, so hey, guess what, everyone? It's the end of the show. That's right. We made it. Hi. Hello. It's the part of the show where we say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us and keep the show going. You'd like to join their ranks and support this show, you can do that by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore. And while we are grateful for every single one of our patrons, don't worry, March recording is going to come up later this month. We've got you covered. We do like to say a special thank you to the top patrons, and that includes Scissor Lord, Monkey Valhalla,
Fuck it, okay.
Chalil, Nick Ilobre, Craig Lemus, Ickis, Nadun, Night Warrior, Mud, Foran, Dungeon Master Burke, Greybeard, and Dracorus. Thank you all so, so much. We appreciate you very much so.
Yeah, you'll rock. Thank you. Yeah. You're the best.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
All right. This positive story is coming from a very personal place and still slightly connected to the world of politics. So here we go. So quite some time ago, there was a falling out between the hosts of the Opening Arguments podcast. This was like over a year ago. Okay. Long time ago. Now, there were some credible claims of sexual harassment that were made against one of the hosts. And that's what kind of spurred all of the thing that happened. So things got real weird when the host that had those accusations at them, they basically took over control of the podcast. They changed all of the passwords for everything, the Patreon, everything. And keep in mind, this was a podcast that had like 10,000 some odd patrons. So it's a big one. Yeah. But anyway, court proceedings were had, things along those lines. And the original host that was not, you know, part of the original accusations of the lawsuit, so that was Thomas, he has now officially taken back over control of the podcast, because now there is still ongoing lawsuits. There's still ongoing lawsuits, but he is now firmly in control and he is now the host of the podcast again. And it just felt nice to kind of go home back to the podcast. Like that was, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this podcast. So this, it just felt nice to get the creep out of there. And to bring back the guy that actually, well, honestly, in my opinion, is what made the show special to begin with. And because he was not the lawyer, he was the one that just asked all the really good questions to make sure that people like me that don't understand the law very well could understand it, because they would be like, oh, what does this mean? What is this? What is this? What is this? And, you know, it's a lot of those terms that lawyers just take for granted because they've been to law school and they just know it.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't know what stare decisis means. I do now. I do now because I've listened to the show.
There you go.
So there you go. It's just great. If you like listening to any shows about the law or anything along those lines, and you would like to hear someone actually do a breakdown about kind of what's going on in the world of politics with a bent on law, check out the Opening Arguments podcast, because, you know, the non-creepy dude's actually in charge again. So there you
Yay!
Go.
That's awesome. Good for him. That's awesome.
Super excited. It was really great to hear. There you go. There's your positive story. Opening Arguments, in my opinion, is back, because I stopped listening completely when the creep took it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was just nice to hear. Yeah, and I used to even, I think it was Dracorus used to listen to it as well. So, hey, Dracorus, if you want to listen,
you don't
have to feel guilty anymore. And it's a way better show, because the lawyer that's on there now is actually I'm blanking on the word. Immigration lawyer. He is an actual immigration lawyer that helps people avoid getting deported is basically the main thing that he works on. So yeah, it's just great. He's out there actually trying to do some good with the law. Is what I'm good. The way I like to see say that. So there you go. Yeah, just excited. I'm excited. I listened to an episode today. It's really good. It was a really good one. Yeah. It's fantastic. But I guess we can get out of here unless you have any comments.
Yeah.
You ever listen to that podcast, Sally? No.
I have not.
No.
I've already talked you up the podcast I listen to as is.
Me too.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts to listen to. A lot of them. It is hard. So hard.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Ali live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/aliandris. And you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/jinsjoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter @live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter @jinsjoint, and you can follow Ali @ali_k. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.